Hey Mac Geeks, it's Wednesday, February 2nd, 2005. This is your MacCast. I'm Adam, and this is the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek, where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, so it looks like I just fired up my software updater, and there is a new version of iPhoto 5.0.1 update available, which, according to Apple, addresses issues with upgrading iPhoto 4 libraries, dragging albums into folders, and importing MPEG 4 movies, along with a number of other minor bug fixes. Personally for me, I just downloaded and installed the update, and what I am most excited about is they fixed a bug, which, since I got iPhoto 5, or the latest version of iLife 05 with iPhoto, was really bugging me, and I know bugging a number of people, was that when you would right-click on an individual photo, it used to be you could select from the contextual menu that would drop down a menu option that said edit an external editor, which would then launch whatever external editor you had defined for JPEG images. In my case, that's Adobe Photoshop. And for some reason, when I upgraded to iPhoto 5, that option was grayed out. It was unselectable. So there was really no easy way to edit my photos in a preferred external photo editor. I know a lot of people do the same thing and like to use Graphic Converter from Lemke Software, which is a great product. If you guys are looking for an alternative to iPhoto, you should probably check that out. Great product. But I use iPhoto, or I'm sorry, not iPhoto. I use Photoshop as my external editor for iPhoto, and the upgrade caused it so I didn't have an easy way to access that. And this new update fixes it. So great. I'm sure there's other minor bug fixes, as they mentioned, and I didn't notice that many bugs with iPhoto, but I guess there were some issues, and Apple has quickly fixed them. So grab that if you need the if there's bugs in iPhoto that are bothering you and you need to get the update. All right, the next really fun thing, something that was cool, I just saw when I got home here from my user group meeting, and popped on NetNewsWire to check out the latest news. Apparently, I missed this earlier today, but Wired. There was a article run on Wired about the proliferation of iPods at Microsoft's corporate campus in Redmond, Washington. And I guess the Microsoft executives are not too happy about Microsoft employees coming in with iPods, bringing their iPods to the office. According to the article over on Wired, they're saying that about 80% of Microsoft employees who have a portable music player have an iPod, and that translates to 16,000 iPod users among the 25,000 employees who work at or near the Microsoft campus in Redmond, Washington. And the article is alluding that the executives are not too happy about the iPods at Microsoft, but I've seen on some blogs, specifically Robert Scoble, who is a big geek at Microsoft and also a blogger, is claiming that he has not seen alleged memos or noticed any managers becoming upset with iPods on the Microsoft campus. But it's just a funny thing to think about, that here is Microsoft trying to compete in the music space with their music store and their Play for Sure technology and Windows Media Player with Apple, and within their own ranks, obviously at this point, better technology is winning out, or at least that's my opinion, and apparently the opinion of many of the people who work at Microsoft. So that's great. It's just really fun to see. You guys give me your comments and feedback on that. Just want to comment on something real quick. You may notice in this podcast that along with the news, I'm going to try and inject a little bit more of my personal opinion and commentary. I got some email feedback from a listener, and they mentioned that, and this is something I'm aware of and you're aware of too, that many of the news stories that I'm giving to you guys Came out over the past day, or either today or the day before. I do these podcasts about 3 times a week. And, the news is not going to be the very latest and up to date, obviously, because, I have to use my news reader, my aggregator, and pull together all these stories for you guys, and then sit down and record a podcast after a day or two. And I'm sure many of you who are online and using the different Mac news services, Mac NN and Mac News Central, and all these other websites are have heard many of these stories. But there are a number of you who rely on this podcast to catch you, get you up to date, because maybe you don't have time during the day and sit down and kind of glom through all the news that's out there. So, it's meeting a number of needs. But I'm getting off topic here, and what it is this this listener pointed out that something they would be interested in is more of my opinion on a lot of these stories. And that's something I definitely want to share. I started out this podcast wanting to be very open and give my opinion, and I think I kind of shied away from that. I've gotten caught up in just delivering the news, and I want this more to be a dialogue from one Mac user to the rest of the Mac community. And I think to help get that going a little bit, I'm going to try and open up a little bit more, and inject a little more of my personality into the podcast. So hopefully that comes across in this podcast. Let me know what you think. If you think this is working better for you, or if you hate it and want me to go back to just deliver the news, get in and get out, let me know what you think. All right. So another thing I saw online was some comments from Apple. Since they had the PowerBook speed bump in the G4s, there's still been discussion about, hey, where are the G5 PowerBooks? Oh, and I want to comment, make a correction to somebody pointed out in the last show that I accidentally interswapped PowerBook and iBook when I was talking about the PowerBook speed bumps, and I apologize for that. I'll try and keep that straight and try and avoid making that mistake in the future. So, people were wondering, where are the PowerBook G5s? And there was some feedback from Apple. I can't remember specifically who within Apple, but one of the executives, and they claimed that yes, while it's technically possible for Apple to produce a G5 iBook, that from a design standpoint, the thing would be so heavy and so thick and so noisy that it just really wouldn't meet the standards that we've come to know and love with Apple design. And I think this is a logical explanation for why we're not seeing a G5 iBook. And they also mentioned, of course, they could throttle the processor way down, but then at that point it would actually perform at a lower level than the optimized G4 chips that they are using in the current line of PowerBooks. So that's just another explanation about why we haven't seen G5 iBooks. We know they're coming. Apple's working on it. We can be assured of that. And I don't think we really need to worry about it too much. They will deliver us G5 iBooks as soon as they possibly can. So don't you guys worry, and I'm sure they're coming. All right, great bit of news for people who are into voice over IP or looking up for a way to make cheap telephone calls using their current internet connections. Skype just released version 1.0, the 1.0 version of their software for OS X and Linux. And for those of you who maybe don't know what Skype is or haven't checked out Skype, head over to Skype.com, Skype.com, and check it out. Skype is basically a program that lets you make free Skype to Skype, in other words, computer to computer voicemail call or voice calls, telephone calls. And then also, if you want to go and purchase credits, prepaid credits for Skype, you can make what are called Skype out calls. These are telephone calls that you should make from your computer to a standard landline telephone. And for those of you who have been using Skype, the new version, version 1.0, has added conference calling feature, so you can now do Skype calls, conference calls with up to five other Skype users. And I noticed that there is now a tab for voicemail preferences, but it says it's not enabled yet. So voicemail is something that's been being talked about with Skype for a while, and it looks like it is coming. I just read online today that they're possibly trying to work out whether it's a free service or a subscription type service or something like that. But Skype fans, stay tuned. It should be coming. I'm looking forward to it. It may be a way for me to get more feedback, audio feedback from you, and avoid the long distance charges that you currently have with the hotline number that you may need to call. So check out Skype if you're looking for a way to make telephone calls using your computer and maybe want to save some money on long distance charges. They have different rates for all kinds of different countries, and you can find the information on their website about what it costs per minute to call each country, but the rates are very, very cheap compared to standard telephone rates you might get from your telephone company. So, everyone who is getting this podcast using a podcast client, I got the next bit of news from a listener, Nowhere Man, and he is actually working on a new podcatching client. I hate the term podcatching, but I guess that's the term that's kind of being adopted in the podcasting community for the software that you use to subscribe to and pick up podcasts like the Maccast. But anyway, Nowhere Man is working on a new podcasting client called Podcast Tuner, and you can find more information about it at podcasttuner.com. And he's saying he's going to release the alpha version of the software next week, and that'll have some features that currently aren't available in current podcasting clients like iPodder and iPodder X. And just run down the quick list of features. He let me know that his podcasting or podcatcher is going to have the ability to play content, MP3 files without launching iTunes or QuickTime Player. It will show you at a glance, real quickly, what content you have that you have not listened to yet. It will let you pick and choose which shows get sent to iTunes. Currently, if you use iPod or X like I do, everything you can set a setting and everything that gets downloaded gets transferred over to iTunes, or you can have it stay in its own directory structure and move it over one at a time manually. But this Pod Tuner will actually kind of automate that for you. It also will have the ability to let you select individual podcast episodes and send them to iTunes manually, which if you're using the other clients now, you have to do through the Finder. So I guess this will allow you to do it through the Podcast Tuner software. It will let you check your podcast manually one at a time to see if there's a new show available. And here's a big feature for if your show has show notes like the Maccast does. If they offer up the show you're subscribed to offers up OPML show notes, then this client will let you see those without having to open up a web browser. And then the last thing is, it will also send those show notes to your iPod's note reader. So it sounds like a lot of cool features are going to be available, and it will be in alpha next week. So look for that at podcasttuner.com. So next, I got another audio comment from listener Joe, and Joe wanted to tell us about a company that is doing something a little bit unusual with Apple hardware, and I'll let Joe tell you all about it.
Hi, Adam. It's Joe again. Came across an interesting site when I was browsing the Yellow Dog Software, the Linux people. Came across a link on their page to TerraSoftSolutions.com. Apparently, they have a license with Apple where they can sell the Apple computers, including G5s and laptops and all, with Linux preloaded that doesn't void any of the hardware warranties that Apple gives with new equipment. Since you had mentioned there's a lot of PC people that are listening to the show as well, I was wondering if anybody had any experience with it or anything of that nature, if you can shed a little more light on it. Pretty interesting that they're selling it without the operating system. Be interesting to know if, you know, the hardware itself, knowing that it's rock solid, really works well, or if people are using it and are happy with it. An interesting note. It's TerraSoftSolutions.com. RASOFTSOLUTIONS.com/products/Apple. Thanks.
So sorry to cut out on us a little bit on that URL. The company Joe was talking about is TerraSoftSolutions.com. And they're apparently selling Apple hardware with Yellow Dog Linux pre-installed. So a Linux operating system in lieu of the Mac OS X operating system pre-installed. And they are an Apple-authorized value-added reseller and apparently have permission from Apple to do this. So check out that website if you're a person who wants to run Mac hardware but is looking for a different operating system other than OS X. I'm going to inject my thoughts on it here. I personally have not used Yellow Dog Linux. And if you have and would like to send me some audio feedback on how that works for you and maybe what you use it for and how you like it, I'd certainly love to hear that. Sounds like Joe would also. But, you know, my thing is why would you... OS X is an absolutely fabulous operating system. It has its roots, you know, in Linux, or in, sorry, apologize, in Unix. It's got FreeBSD in it and Apache Web Server and, you know, just all those fabulous, wonderful Unix tools that we've come to know and love. Plus, on top of that, it's got the fabulous Mac OS X graphic user interface. So I'm not really sure why you wouldn't want to just run OS X and get all the benefits of Unix, but there apparently are people out there who do want that. And if anybody's actually purchased a system from TerraSoft, please provide some feedback and let us know what you think about it, and we'll share it with everyone. All right, thanks. All right, lastly, let's have a little bit of fun. I have been getting, as you guys know, a lot of really great MP3 music from a number of our listeners, and I'm really enjoying getting that. So if you are in a band or you're a musician and you're putting together music that you'd like to have played on the MacCast, certainly send me MP3 files to maccast@gmail.com. But one of the listeners that did that for us was John Hoskinson. And I played some of his music a couple shows ago. The track I played was I Hope I Die Before You Do. And John was named, or his CD was named the number one CD of 2004 by the Orange County Register up in Los Angeles, California. And when he sent me his MP3 file and I told him I was going to play it on the show, he said he would send me a CD, and I asked him to send along a couple more CDs so that maybe we could run a little contest on the MacCast and I could give some CDs away. So he did that. He sent me two extra CDs here, and so I'm going to go ahead and throw a contest out there to give one of these away on this show, and I will send it anywhere in the world. So I know I have listeners all over the world, and I will send this anywhere. So here's the challenge. Here's what you guys need to do to win a free copy of his CD. The CD is titled Miscellaneous Heathen, and it's johnhoskinson.com, HOSKINSON. And what I want to know is here's the deal. The eighth person to call the MacCast hotline, and that phone number is 206-222-2788, 20-MACCAST-8. The eighth call that I get to the hotline that tells me the name of the sixth track on John's CD, Miscellaneous Heathen, is going to win a free copy of the CD. And I will, oh, when you call the hotline, be sure you leave your email address so that if you are the winner, I can contact you and give you get your mailing address, and I will ship the CD off to you as soon as I get that eighth person to call. So you're gonna have to hunt around and find John's website, and the information is on there on the track. So I've even just given you a hint on where to find the details. But eighth person to call wins the CD. All right, that's the show for tonight. Please visit the website for the show notes and full links to every. Links to everything that I've discussed, mattcast.com. You can always send audio comments and emails to mattcast@gmail.com or call the hotline. Tonight I'm going to leave you with another piece of new music from a Mattcast listener. His name is Mark Woznicki, and this track is called This Will Change Everything. You can visit him on his website. There's a link from the show notes. He originally lived in Philadelphia and has now moved to Sweden, and he actually does his own podcast called Gettin' Jiggy with Mark Woznicki. So that's the show. I will see you all next time and enjoy This Will Change Everything from Mark Woz. Man, I'm mutilating his name. Poor guy. Sorry, Mark. Mark Woznicki.
Turning, we were burning, too hard to fight.